Parker, the Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin AC, coming at you from Petco Park. I am finally back in town. I don't know if it was the losing, the humidity, but Jay, that just seemed like a long trip. Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune. I see the UT building. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. I wish I could wave at you, but as you know, I'm holed up in our studio here, trying to give people the news about the Padres, and it's good to have you. Good to have you back in town. We're less than a week away from the trade deadline, and it seems like that's about the biggest thing to look forward to now, right? At least for the next few days.
Yeah, I guess for the next 2 days, I mean, it plays into the Padres' future. That's for sure. I don't know whether there'll be something now, which I believe, and based on the very few things that I'm told, they are trying to make something happen, and that would be for a starting pitcher. And that there is virtually, you know, like we've talked about for a long time, everybody is available. Some of their players that have drawn more interest than others, you know, Adrian Morahone, Luis Urias, Kirby Yates. We'll see, Jay. One way to answer your question is, it's kind of all about 2020 now.
Which really, I guess, was kind of the way that it always was. I mean, we kind of,
yes.
I think we, and especially some people, got fooled maybe a little bit by the fast start and the fact that, you know, coming out of the break, they were 45-45. And you could say, hey, if they put together a hot streak against the Marlins and the Mets and, you know, crappy teams like that, you know, there's a lot of mediocrity, I think, in baseball right now and in the National League, and the Padres are sort of at the lower end of that. You know, this was a bad trip. It's been a bad time since the break, you know, losing 9 out of 12, or I guess that's what it is now, right? 9 out of 12, 6 of 9 on this road trip. And I don't know. I mean, everybody's always looking for people to blame, and of course, you know, the biggest person to blame is always Andy Green. But I still have a hard time subscribing to that when I look and see that every single day the Padres put a pitcher out there who's in his first or second year in the big leagues, or and sometimes like in their first or second day even. So maybe it's, I don't know, I guess I could be accused of making excuses or whatever, but I just, as I told someone the other day, I just don't think this team is built to win right now, and it's certainly not in the pitching department. The bullpen's been much better since the break. You know, we don't hear as much about how the bullpen's being mismanaged, because now when they put people out there, they're getting guys out. Imagine that. But the starting pitching, I don't know. I mean, Eric Lauer's been bad in 2 starts since he came back from the death of his father, but he came back from the death of his father. You know, I've been through that. It's a terrible thing to go through. I'm glad I didn't have to go out on a mound a few days later and
at 23 years old.
And pitch after that in my second year in the big leagues. And, you know, Joey Lucchese was poor in the Wrigley Field game. But I think with all this youth on the mound is going to come, you know, some inconsistency. We've even seen it from Chris Paddock, you know, making a couple mistakes here and there and you know, trying to piece together games where Dinelson Lamet's out there. If the Padres were really trying to win now, you know, would Dinelson Lamet be out there every fifth or sixth day? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe not. Maybe they would have structured the roster differently. You know, look at this weekend. We're going to see, I don't know, Saturday, you mentioned Cal Quantrill is going to pitch the bulk of the innings, but does he start the game or does he come in like he did last week and someone like Morahone starts Sunday? Maybe Morahone starts on Sunday because there's nobody to start on Sunday. I just think that in just sort of realistically looking at things, yeah, maybe we could have expected better than 48-54. Was 45-45 really where they should have been at that point in the season? It's all kind of snapshots of when you look at it. And if you looked at it when they were 45-45, hey, everything looked pretty good. You look at it 2 weeks later and, you know, everything doesn't look so good. So that's my minutes worth of early ranting so far. What do you got?
Well, I thought it was interesting that you said that maybe we were fooled. I think you've made a point to point out almost every time we've gotten into this discussion that we have always thought that this is a, you know, this team was not the one. Maybe if we were thinking was at 45-45 that this road trip, the start to the second half, could maybe prompt them to make a move earlier than later. I speak of Noah Syndergaard. And that's not necessarily, that really never was the case. It was, if now is the time, as in, are other teams going after him too? Are the Mets motivated to deal? Then they'll make a move. But it's always been about Noah Syndergaard is under control in 2020 and 2021. And he's, I believe, 26 years old. I've written it so many times recently, you think I would remember. But it's always for this team been about next year, which is not mutually exclusive to they're not trying to win this year. It's reached a point now where no matter who they bring in, I mean, you know, they're not making a run here. They're not. When they're so inconsistent on their offense, and the fact is, Jay, who's the stopper right now? Which I guess would be moot if they did bring in, you know, Noah Syndergaard. But who's the stopper? Who's the ace? I would argue it's Chris Paddock.
Well, it is. It's Chris Paddock, and he's a guy that's he's a rookie, and he's on a 90 pitch, basically a 90 pitch limit, 90 to 95 pitch limit for most, you know, for his games, and he's on an innings limit, which I think is no doubt going to come into play even more. As we go forward, and yeah, I mean, I guess it's either him or Lucchesi. You know, maybe you would have said Lucchesi until last week in Chicago. Very interesting to see, you know, what happens with him, you know, starting tonight against Jeff Samardzija of the Giants, which we'll get more on a little bit later. But yeah, there really isn't a stopper, so to speak. And like I said, if there is one, it's you know, the 23-year-old rookie. Pitched, I don't know, how many innings is he up to now?
I believe it's 90, and then what he did on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, so 95 innings.
Yep.
that he's pitched in the big league. So, you know, if that's what you're looking at as your stopper, and even if you're looking at Lucchesi as your stopper, is that really a team that you should be saying, hey, this team's going to the playoffs?
I know why you said that, but the greatest thing you can say about Joey Lucchesi this year is that he had that streak of 11 starts where he went at least 5 innings.
Right.
It was just somebody you knew was going to at least not kill you until this last start.
No, and I think Lucchesi has the potential. We've talked about it before. I think he's a guy that could be in a rotation on a good team as a 4 or 5 starter. But not looking at him. You shouldn't be looking at him to be your stopper, just like you shouldn't have been looking at Eric Lauer to be the opening day pitcher. Those are guys that maybe they hang around as 4 or 5 starters. Maybe they don't. Maybe they end up on another team as, quote, veterans after they've been around for a couple, 3 years, and they come in and they're the kind of pitcher that the Padres really probably need at this point. But, you know, I think the pitching has been an issue most of the year, and you know, first it was the bullpen, and now that seems to be much better, and now it's the rotation. But the offense has been somewhat troublesome as well, and I think there's a couple of areas. I think, you know, Franmil Reyes doesn't look like the same hitter that he was earlier, you know, in the season, and you know, the numbers show that. You know, second base is a hole most of the year, and you know, Urias has played great defensively since he's back up, but he hasn't done anything with the bat. Machado's been great. Tatis was out for a while, and he's been great. Hosmer, I haven't studied the numbers, but would you say he's dropped off a little bit?
He's dropped off a little
recent
bit.
Recent
weeks, still a guy who is driving in runs and he is getting hits. I mean, I would argue that the jury will still be out, you know, based on the location of it last year. That wasn't worth it. I would say Hosmer's worth his money this year so far.
Right.
So,
right. You know, catching, the numbers are better now since Mejia's been back up, but he was, you know, he was down for a while, and Hedges is still, you know, struggling to get to the even just to 200 and batting average, although he has been better lately. It's just been a lot of inconsistency. Margot wasn't very good early. He's been better lately. Myers has been, I mean, what can you say about Myers? It's been a disaster so far. And
the biggest story ongoing with this franchise, it really is. It's arguably right up there. I know there's the trade deadline. Oh my gosh, it is awful.
And I don't know what's the solution. I mean, do they get to the point where they give him away for a prospect, for somebody that'll eat some money, or they just have to DFA him and eat the money that way? Or I don't know what are their options
it's
right
all
now?
About it's well those are really the two. I mean, Will Myers could agree to go down, because with his service time, it has to be Will Myers that agrees to do this. My understanding is they're gonna, you know, They're going to get through the trade deadline and they're going to see. But it's not as simple. I mean, DFA is eating all of it, you know, because who's going to come get him and take on his money? A trade, they're not going to, they don't want to eat even half of it. So, and certainly not any more than that. And right now, I don't know who they get to take, you know, $15 million.
Well, yeah, I mean, who's, right. I mean, at this point, how could you expect a team to, you know, to take someone like Myers and pay him more than minimum wage, basically? I mean, and not minimum wage meaning $15 an hour, but, you know, minimum baseball wage at this point, because you can bring up your own, you know, if you're another team, you can bring up your own young guy and pay him $550 or whatever. So why are you going to pay Myers any more than that when he's not likely to produce, you know, any more than you know, a replacement player, to use, you know, to use a term? So
so that's, I mean, to me, that's the ongoing thing, and it might be something that they put off until the off season to try to figure out, because that's how, like, monumental it is. It's like, wow,
right.
How do you even deal with this?
Yeah, and it's not costing him. I mean, now it's not costing him a whole lot. I mean, what's his salary this year is nothing. It's the next 3 years that, you know, that it's going to become an issue. And at some point, I don't know if they just decide he's a lost cause or what. I mean, I guess he's, you know, from what you've written, I mean, he's worked at trying to improve, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and now it's just to the point where there was a point where it's like, well, hey, this is Will Myers. Mm-hmm. He's going to come. I mean, he can get out of it any time, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
You know, it's to the point where, I mean, anyone can see it. Like, he goes up there and he's taking balls right down the middle, or he's chasing balls. Or, I mean, it's, and he doesn't even look, I mean, it's really something to see. I certainly haven't seen anything like it up close and personal. A player that talented, a player that much expected of to be at the point he is now. And, you know, it's either going to be an incredible comeback story or just a puzzler for all time in this franchise. And that's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so, for sure.
All right, Jeff Samardzija, we talked briefly about the Giants. How about this? So, you know, June 30th, the Padres were riding pretty high, right? I forget exactly what their record was. I could do it in my head, but not right now. But they were riding pretty high, and then they lost the finale of the series to the Cardinals. Okay, that's fine. Won that series, right?
Right.
That day in Arizona, the Giants beat the Diamondbacks to sort of stop, like, a, you know, would have been a little bit of a losing skid. Then they came here and swept the Padres. The Giants went from 35-47 before that game against the Diamondbacks to 52-51 right now.
Well, 52, right? Yeah, 50, yeah, 52-50 after Tuesday's game, and then they lost on Wednesday to the Cubs,
right,
in a day game, and didn't play yesterday. So yeah, they're 17-4 going back to that. But and at the same time, and look, I don't want this to turn into, you know, into Giants talk, but I think the Giants are in a real bind here, because they're 52-51. But they're still 3.5 games out of the wild card. There's still three teams ahead of them, in between them and the top spot. So basically, like, five teams, plus they're tied with Arizona. I don't think the Giants are a playoff team. But and I'm sure that if you asked the Giants, and especially their front office, they would say, we're not a playoff team. But they're in a bind, because can they make any deals? They really need to trade Madison Bumgarner.
Their bind is their fans and their clubhouse.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's it. Because they know that they have a bereft farm system and that they aren't really a playoff team. Oh, wait, okay, could they, you know, great story, make the wild card, send Bruce Bochy off. What does that do for the future of the organization?
Well, and let's be fair, though, if they do make the wild card game, they've got one of the great postseason pitchers of all time to pitch in that game. And I'm looking forward to seeing Bumgarner pitch here on Sunday, whether it's his last game with the Giants or not. At one point, I thought it would be. I wonder, and I obviously this is one of those things where, you know, no one would ever admit to this, nor would you want them to, but, you know, part of the Giants organization has to be kind of hoping, hey, you think maybe the Padres could sweep us this weekend and just sort of end this fantasy that some of the people are having? Because if they're 52-54 and they're five games out and they're, or six games out and there's six teams between them, then they can easily say, hey, look, we made a little run at it, but we're not going to get over the hump here. But, you know, the way the Padres, and who knows? I mean, the way the Padres are playing, just when we expect them to be terrible you know, they sweep the Dodgers when we expect them to be good. They, you know, they lose 6 out of 9 on a road trip. So there's no way to predict what's going to happen this weekend. But it's really interesting. The Giants are really in a tough spot, and not that I expect anybody listening to this to be sympathetic, but it is something to watch this weekend to see what happens. And and also this weekend, it would be great. Bruce Bochy back for one final time, 25 years as a manager, retiring after the season. Will he ever manage again? You know, who knows? For Bruce's sake, I almost hope not. I mean, I think with the health, you know, I like Bruce with the health issues he's had. It seems like it'd be a great time to just kind of, you know, go off into the sunset, enjoy his family, you know, maybe do some baseball work on the side. But, you know how it is sometimes with these guys, and they get talked back into it. But I know the Padres are planning something tonight for people going to the game. Before the game, probably 6:55, 7 o'clock, there's a home plate ceremony for Bochy. So I think people will want to see that. It's nice of the Padres to do that after, as you know, he got basically run out of here, although that was a different organization. And it's funny, when he got run out of here, and I don't want to get back into this, there were a lot of people who were just as happy to see him go because they had just lost in the playoffs for the second straight year. And, you know, like every time, it's always the manager's fault. And it was kind of like, hey, let's get somebody else in here that's going to get us, you know, get us over the hump. But I do think it's great that, you know, Bruce is going out. And, hey, if they got to the playoffs in his last year, so much the better. But I just have a hard time seeing that happen.
You know, Jay, the last thing on that is, you know, you talked, you know, almost apologetically about going about the Giants situation. Well, they are a division foe, and how their farm system and the contracts that they're tied up with, and whether they trade Madison Bumgarner or not, I mean, that does affect the Padres. Their future compares favorably right now to the Giants just because of the situation the Giants have gotten themselves into. So it is an interesting time for them right now.
No, I agree. I mean, if you were to pick, you know, which team would you rather have going forward, you know, not this year, but because I don't think either team's going anywhere this year. But, you know, if you said over the next 4 or 5 years, I think most people in baseball would much prefer to be in the Padres situation. Now, whether they can make that pay off, you know, we'll have to see. But
all we have is hope, Jay.
I know. On paper, it sure seems like that the Padres are in a better situation, you know, than the Giants are right now. But, I mean, look, who expected when the Giants came in here a month ago, not even a month ago, that these two teams would be where they are? So it just goes to show you, Kevin, you know, you can't figure baseball.
You can't. Now, the Padres, losing record at home. They now have a losing record on the road, but yesterday is the first time that that became a reality. So they got that. They started out, what was it, 5-7, I think they won against the Giants at the start of the year. Now they've lost 5 straight, the 2-game series in San Francisco, and then the 3-game series to start July. You know, it's funny about this podcast. It seems like what's been kind of fun this season is we've been able to harp on something, you know, been able to talk or talk about something, be it positive or kind of a, you know, constructive criticism, what have you, about something that happened in a recent series or what's going on. And gosh, this road trip thing is just so bad. I got nothing for you, man. I mean, you know, some of the rookies started playing like rookies, even Fernando Tatis. And I think the great thing about Fernando Tatis, he's still this, you know, his slumps are still okay. And, you know, his bad defense also comes with some really good defense. You know, it was bad. There were positives, but I mean, and I guess that's sort of, you know, the transition we might be making now. It was terrible, but look what the bullpen's doing. It was terrible, but man, Andres Munoz sure looks good. And Adrian Morón sure looks good. And Michelle Baez has gotten himself into trouble, but gotten out of it pretty ballsy for a rookie. It's a podcast, Jay. I can say ballsy.
Yeah, I mean, look at Quantrill the last couple of outings.
Right. But that's where it's like, oh, wow, we're transitioning back to 2018.
Right.
But at least it took us till almost August to do it, because it was from, you know, March 29th last year. So
yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we talked at the beginning about, and I would tell people, I want the Padres to stay relevant for as long as they can.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of teetering where maybe that's not the case, you know, right now, certainly in relation to the rest of the league. But it did last for a lot longer than I think a lot of people thought, and there's still things to watch over the last couple months, and you just mentioned some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kirby Yates gets traded, you know, let's see what Andres Munoz does as a closer for a couple months. We've already seen him in the eighth inning role the other day. I think Stammen pitched the seventh and Munoz the eighth. So and like you said, with Quantrill and Morahon and Baez and you know, haven't given up on Lucchesi. obviously Paddock. Matt Strom pitched well out of the bullpen the other day.
Heck, Eric Lauer had a 2.66 ERA over 9 starts.
Right.
That was pretty darn good.
Yeah, it was.
I think that we feel the same way about him in terms of, I at least feel like he or Lucchesi could be a back of a rotation guy.
Yeah.
These have been two rough starts. They came after a terrible time, and who knows what's going to happen with Eric Lauer going forward here. He's also been a little under the weather, so we'll see. But,
yeah.
There's still things that we can find interest in. It's just I believe we're at a tipping point of the season or a tipped already
yeah.
point where, that's the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about after the trade deadline.
Right. No, I think it's definitely tipped. But, again, three with the Giants should be, I would assume, big crowds for all three games. Tomorrow night, Saturday, the Chicken will be performing. And so that's always something that I think people enjoy. It's been a while since he's done a full game at Petco. And then we will talk again on Monday in advance of a quick little two-game set against the Orioles. And I believe Chris Paddock is in line to pitch on Monday.
Yeah, another Chris Paddock Lamet is what they're in line here. But Andy Green keeps hinting at, changes. But, again, they're going to have to piece together some things here. There's six off days the rest of the season, and health is a real priority.
Right,
Lamet,
right.
Paddock, even almost everybody else because they're young or have health issues. So
right.
We'll see.
All right, I'll see you out at the ballpark, Kevin. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you.